Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Stevenson, Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
It's round 8 on the Monday Waffle. Huge show coming up. My name is Joel Tsiratsis. I'm joined in the studio by Soph, Birch and Verity. Massive round of waffle coming up. Guys, later in the show, we're going to try and make an international call. Don't know if that's ever been done before on the Monday Waffle, but we're going to give it a shot.
Monday Waffle goes int.
Don't show the phone bill to anyone here at the studios. So that's coming up. We're going to speak about all the games, cover all the games, and look forward to next week. And of course, tipping, Birchie, as always. You're back to reclaim your title from Josh. First game of the round, though, was the biggest upset in recent memory for me.
Who could believe it?
Verity, what went down?
I have two words for you, Joel Tsiratsis and Monday Waffle listeners.
Shuckers, bruh!
Shuckers, bruh.
Those that are just tuning in for the first time ever, Verity's team is East Frio and she calls them Shuckers, bruh. That's her nickname for them. Verity, what happened in the game?
Final score, it was East Fremantle, 18 goals, 12 points, 120 to Subiaco, 6 goals, 4 points, 40. Ooh. It was an 80-point thrashing of the back-to-back premiers. 12 goal kickers for the game, led by Josh Simpson and Brett Peake, who both kicked 3. George Hampson was also very damaging against his old side with 2 goals and 26 disposals, while the ex-Docker, Jesse Crichton, also kicked 2. Acting captain Liam Anthony was outstanding. He had 35 disposals, 7 tackles, in place of injured skipper Jamie McNamara. Dylan Winton was fantastic on Subi's Hamish Shepherd, keeping him scoreless. Ryan Lester-Smith, he had 28 disposals and kicked a goal, while Brock O'Brien was brilliant in defence. Just a massive win, knocking off the unbeaten Lions, and it really establishes my Sharks as premiership contenders. Clapping, eat your heart out.
Yeah, no, definitely. They're really going to be, well, after that win, I reckon they'll really push deep into September and could be a threat come finals time. So, what happened with Subi?
Well, I don't really want to talk about it, but I guess I'm going to have to. They had a huge upset against East Fremantle, a massive thumping of 120 to Subiaco's 40.
Yep, well, Verity,
okay.
Come on, Fremantle.
It was an upset, and I'm gutted because the boys have been on point this whole season, and then they've just fallen behind, and it's not like them at all. But also, we had some standout players from Subi. Two-time best and fairest, Carl Horsley. He can hold his head up high with 27 disposals. He was, great little midfielder, and so was Adam Cocky, who had 21 and kicked a goal and laid 6 tackles.
And there was a new face down at Subi, wasn't
there? Yes, there was. Liam Ryan, he kicked 2 goals on his league debut, so big congrats to him. And look, it just kind of shows that, they still have their standout players, but, something just went wrong, I guess. But they'll be looking to bounce back next week against Claremont, who also had a loss. And that'll be a breast cancer awareness game, actually, so that'll be a good one to get down to.
I'm sure they'll be looking to rebound. And Birchie, West Perth v Peel, what happened at HBF Arena?
So it's a third straight win for the Falcons as their season goes from strength to strength. Didn't think that at the start of the season, I'll be honest. So 7 points win, and it was in very scrappy conditions. And also the game was quite low scoring. West Perth had 58 points and Peel Thunder 41. So not great, was it?
Yeah, last year's grand finalists. Good win for them, but very low scoring. And they had a few contributors throughout the midfield, Birch.
Yeah, they're led by Tyler Keetle and Rowan Kerr, 32 disposals, and Luke Meadows with 30 disposals. Shane Nelson also had another big game with 29 disposals, and Aaron Black and Drew Rode had 25 disposals, so they played really well. Andrew Strike continued his goal-scoring form with 2, along with Cody Manning. It was a great win for the boys, though, going into the bye next week, and could be a premiership contention coming out at the season.
Open season, isn't it? And so what happened to Peel Thunder? Unfortunate loss for them.
Yeah, disappointing loss after such a big win against Perth last weekend. But Clancy Pearce, he racked up plenty of disposals, 35, while Ed Langdon also had 30 through the midfield. Good for both players looking to maybe make their way into the Dockers. Also, Brad Walsh had his biggest game for the year, 26 disposals, while Tanner Smith was good with 2 goals. There was injury, though, which was was only a minor setback by Anthony Morabito. He had a suspected hamstring.
Very unlucky for Anthony, isn't it? He's had a very bad run with injuries. So. Alrighty, guys. The next game of the round, Perth v Swan Districts down at Lath Lane, Perth's home ground. The final score was Perth 11-14-95 to Swan Districts 8-6-54. It was a big win for the Demons over, well, the only other team in the comp yet to win a game. Now, Verity, try to keep calm, but your man, Clint Jones, had a whopping 47 disposals.
Da, 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 da.
Send over. I feel it.
47 disposals. It's just incredible. Now, I've done some research, guys. Here's what I've managed to dig up. Thanks to wafflefootyfacts.net.au, our number one stop for all waffle facts and stats, run by Rick Gorchy. Wonderful site. You should definitely check it out. Now, Verity, Clint Jones's 47 disposal performance is the most touches in a game of waffle by any player in the club's 117-year history. Guys, do you know whose record he beat with that record?
Whose?
He beat his own record from round two.
Damn right he did.
From round two this year against West Perth, he had 45. So in 117 years of this club's existence, there's been players running around that midfield, and he has been there for 8 weeks and
so
broken.
So, Verity, you have chosen
what
well.
What a gun.
Yep, an incredible effort. Julian Jacobs also had a big game himself. He racked up 36 disposals. He had this to say about their new superstar, Clint Jones, after the game.
He's, well, I think he's 33 now, but he's an absolute genius. Obviously played 150 games at AFL, and you can definitely tell it, and just how professional he is and how fit he still is unbelievable. So an absolute awesome player.
Perth had quite a few other contributors throughout the midfield, along with Jones and Jacobs. Lee McKenna had 32 and kicked 2 goals. Sandover medalist Aiden Tropiano had another 29, while youngster Zach Fisher, who had his biggest game for the year with 27 disposals and a goal. Sam Garston was great up forward. He kicked 3 goals in his second game for the season, while Kristen Carey and ex-Richmond man Angus Graham were good up forward with 2 goals each. So they face your boys next week. Verity, how do you feel?
Yes, they do.
How are you going to feel if Clint Jones does another 50, almost touches 50 disposals?
I'll still say good on him. They won't win their game for them, unfortunately. My Sharks are just too strong.
Verity, what did happen with the Swans? Give us
a as for the Swans in that game, well, they're left on the bottom of the ladder now and with just one win. So, but hey, that's one more than Frio. Pa-ding!
That's very true.
They did have some good contributors, though, with their best and fairest, Matt Riggio, and the guy with the best name in the comp, ex-Royal, Freddie Clutterbutt. Both continuing their good form. They both had 31 disposals each. Adam Faulkner was good with 29 disposals, while Tony Note was a threat up forward. He kicked 3 goals, one of which was a brilliant dribble along the ground in the second half, while Nelson Anzi, he kicked 2. And yeah, no, they'll face the Royals next week, who are coming off the bye, so you're right, Clappin, it's not looking good.
And South Freo Claremont, guys, you were all at the game on the weekend.
Yeah, what a great game.
Absolute nail-biter.
Didn't know what was going to happen, though I had to stay calm at the end, and my boys did win in the end, which I'm very happy about.
Virgie was down at the game. Let's have a listen.
On Saturday, the Tigers took on the Bulldogs at Claremont Showgrounds. It might have been a gloomy day, but it was a thrilling match to watch. The Tigers were up at quarter time, ahead by 2 goals and a point. Having lost their last 2 matches, they had a point to prove, and they needed to win to keep their premiership dreams alive. Darcy Cameron had a stellar first half, kicking 4 consecutive goals. Claremont's Hugo Brakey did a superb job tagging Ashton Hams. The small forward only had 2 touches at half time, and tempers boiled. The two teams clashed, and Hams' jumper was ripped to shreds. We talked to Hams after the game.
It's a bit of frustration. I'm 30 this year, so I'm going to be the old for it. But yeah, it's a bit of frustration, but I had to try and get myself into the game somehow. So, hopefully it's fired up a few of the boys.
Hams worked harder and smarter in the last 2 quarters, racking up 17 disposals. At 3-quarter time, the Tigers were leading by 18 points. Jack Bradshaw had a massive game, kicking 5 goals, continually keeping Claremont's hopes alive. Despite the lead, Claremont drew a short straw, kicking into the breeze in the last quarter. South Freo dominated stoppages and seemed unstoppable at the end. A number of fumbles by the Tigers saw the away team capitalise. Still anyone's game at the end, though, with the Bulldogs sneaking through a point and a deciding goal. We spoke to the Bulldogs coach, Todd Curley, after the game.
Oh, look, we're pleased. We didn't play well for a large portion, but I guess towards the last quarter when we were really under the pump, we stood up and played probably our best footy.
Yeah. Hams looked like he had a bit of a tough game. How was that? What do you think?
Yeah, it's a tough one when your opponent really doesn't care about getting the footy. They're just trying to restrict your influence. So, yeah, it wasn't his best day, probably a frustrating day, but I thought he was pretty good in the last quarter for us.
South Frio player Shane Hockey limped off in the third quarter. We asked what was wrong.
Pretty embarrassing, actually. It was just severe cramp. Like, it's just in the calf. I went out for the mark and it cramped and held on and just wouldn't let go, and there's nothing I could do. I couldn't walk or anything. So.
Well, that's a bit of a relief then.
Yeah, I'll be fine for next week. I'll do all the right things and stay off my feet tonight and recover well and look forward to next week.
Claremont supporter Ed was trying to come to terms with how the Tigers managed to lose at the end.
Not happy, not happy. It always seems to be very unnatural whenever Claremont lose, especially here in Claremont. I know it's not quite Claremont Oval, but it's still very close to the centre of the universe. And I think there must be some explanation, either in the weather, or the umpires, or the gravity.
Pop the confetti, I'm Dennis Scametti.
Dennis Scametti.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
We are now joined by Ben Cameron, who is a producer of Sports Today at 6PR and called the Waffle Game on the weekend. Ben, thanks for joining us.
No worries, Joel, Verity, Soph and Laura, good to be with you.
Oh, good remembering your names there, I'm impressed.
So you were down at Perth, Ben. Big win for them, both teams only on one win, so it was good to get over the Swans, wasn't it? And Clint Jones, Verity's man, absolutely loves him.
And by man, it's just, what he means by that is I think he's a real contender for the Sand over this year. Ben, what do you reckon?
Yeah, well, he would have got 5 votes on the weekend, I think, Verity. He was absolutely outstanding on the weekend. 47 touches. No one went near him. I'm not sure whether he had bad BO or what the situation was, but he just absolutely racked them up on the weekend and really led Perth to the victory. The reason they got him in is because he's such a professional player. He played under Ross Lyon. Ross absolutely loved him at the Saints because of the way he goes about it. And he was predominantly a run-with player when he played in the AFL, but he's been let off the leash in the WAFL by Earl Sporting and was just fantastic on the weekend. Perth, they probably ran a little bit harder than Swans and they had more numbers at the contest. I mean, it wasn't a highly skilled game. Both teams butchered the football a number of times and were probably as bad as each other, but Perth just wanted it a little bit more and, as I said, had more numbers around the football, won the contested ball and, in turn, were able to go on and win the game. Heading into the game, there was actually only one player, Michael Sinclair, who had played in a league win in Perth colours against Swan District. So 21 other blokes for the first time wearing Perth colours had a win over the Black Ducks Swan District. So it was a big deal for Perth on the weekend. I think it suggests that there's enough heading in the right direction for them moving forward.
So Ben, just with the Subi match, they unfortunately were steamrolled by East Frio by 80 points. And it started off, East Frio just, I guess, had the game early on and then took the lead from there. Do you think that momentum is what gave them the win, or what did Subi do wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was the little letdown that Subi possibly had to have. People don't like hearing that it's a loss that a team had to have, but I think it might have just been that for Subiaco. They're back-to-back reigning premiers. They're a very, very good side. They've won their opening 6 games. They had a top-of-the-table clash against South Fremantle the week before. They've won that. They've been up for the opening 6 weeks. So it might have just been that letdown. I think the Sharks are a very good side this year. They may well finish in the top. I know it's a top 5 finals spot, but they may finish in the top 3. I think they're probably in the best 3 teams in the competition, along with the Lions, South Fremantle, as well as probably the 2 best teams. If you can, avoid Jared Schofield for the week because he will be a frustrated man. He'll put the team through the ringer, and good luck to Claremont next week. They will want to show up because otherwise it could get ugly.
Now, Ben, South Rio managed to sneak through a win against Claremont. They're now on top, though obviously they lost against Subi a few weeks ago. How do you think South Rio is going to do for contention for premiership?
Yeah, I think they're there or thereabouts. I'm not sure whether they'll win it. I still think Subi is far and away the best side in the competition, which sounds funny considering they had an 80-point loss on the weekend. And generally, premiership teams don't have 80-point losses in their season, but I'm not overly concerned for Subiaco. I think it's just a matter for the remainder of the season of finding out who is the best of the 3 or the seedings that I've spoken about between the Bulldogs, the Sharks, and the Lions.
And so, Ben, you were speaking before, so you don't think West Perth can recapture their form from last year, making the grand final? You reckon they're probably not as strong as South Freo and Subi and, well, obviously East Freo now as well.
Not on the form I've seen so far, but they're an interesting case in the sense that they were 1-4 and now they've won their last three. So I think they had some serious injury concerns, like to Shane Nelson, who got in a pub fight and broke his wrist, and Kunin, their ruckman, who suffered a knee injury. And it's just taken a little while for them to get those players back. And I think Bill Monaghan knew that if they could just sort of tough out that period at the start of the season, they might be able to get on a roll. I'm not a massive rap for their list. I don't think they're a great list. I don't have them really pushing in the best few teams later in the back end of the year, but they might well prove me wrong.
So, Ben, who are your, I guess, who's your big, who do you support the most in Waffle?
I'm a Subi Akko fan.
Good.
Come
I'm
on,
glad
Subi,
to hear
so
it.
Very happy to have watched my boys win a couple of flags over the last couple of years, and I've been fortunate enough to call a couple of premierships for my team, which is really exciting.
Ben, thanks so much for joining us, and look forward to hearing your voice throughout the season on The Waffle.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
It's time for the Monday Waffle Tips. Let's get down.
I'm Josh Gallup. This is Gallup Steeping. No more Birchie. She's out.
I don't think so. Let's get down to business.
Birchie, you've taken back your tipping segment off Josh. He's out of the country. Stand by, listeners. We might be able to get him on the line. We're trying desperately to get an international call through.
I don't think it's going to happen. Serratsis might need to come to the conclusion. Gallup's probably waking up at some point in the next hour in some random Malaysian restaurant after a big night.
But yeah. At least he's been...
A few tattoos.
He's been spammed at least celebrating. On Facebook, FaceTime. Left a lot of really lovely messages for him.
I hope he understands that the punishment he's getting dished out if he does not speak to us by the end of this episode is going to be horrendous.
Quadruple.
It's going to be horrendous. Birchie, what happened in the tipping?
Let's get down. Well, Verity, where the hell have you come from? 3 points this round and you're now in third spot. You came out of
Congratulations,
nowhere.
Congratulations, Verity.
I told you guys, first episode, first day. I'm the dark horse.
Yeah. I swear you were bottom of the ladder at some point, but well done to Verity.
Every point, I think it was, actually.
Joel got two. I found this a very difficult tipping round. The only one I got right was tipping my boys South Freo, and that nearly didn't happen. So me, Kelly and Soph, 1 point. And Josh, just because you're out of the country, mate, doesn't mean you can't enter your tips. He didn't, and he got zero.
Punishment.
He's bottom of the ladder at 11. Then we've got Soph at 16. Joel and Verity at 17. Kelly and me, 19. Still on top, guys.
If you've got any suggestions for Josh's punishment, post them up on the Facebook page. We're going to make it double.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
Looking at the ladder, South Freo have bumped poor Subi Akko down to second place. So South Freo sit on top, followed by Subi Akko, East Freo, Peel and West Perth. And then the bottom four are East Perth, Claremont, Perth and Swan Districts.
Looking into next week's games, they are all on the Saturday, no Sunday games. We have East Freo versus Perth at Adams Stadium at 2:15. East Perth versus Swanee Districts at Medibank, again at 2:15. And South Freo will versus Peel. And that's at 2:15 as well. That's at the Fremantle Community Bank Oval. And then at 3:10 p.m, Claremont and Subi Akko. That'll be a great game that's going to be at the showground. West Perth are going to have a bye. So that's next week's games.
Thanks for joining us on the Monday Waffle. Hope you can be with us next week. See you later.
Catch you next time.
Bye. Woo-hoo!
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.